In 1966, Dr. Martin Luther King turned his attention to the North, specifically racial injustices in hiring and housing in Chicago. Joy Bivens is curator of the Martin Luther King exhibit at the Chicago History Museum.
Chicago was a place where there was a lot of black power, political power, financial power, capital, and people who supported what was happening, the movements that were happening in the South.
King's goal in Chicago, to eradicate a system he felt colonized African Americans into slums. He demanded fair housing prices, while Operation Breadbasket, led by Reverend Jesse Jackson, targeted businesses believed to be participating in racist hiring practices. But Chicago's strong political machine wasn't about to let the civil rights activists have free reign over the city.
The mayor thought he was stirring up trouble, that there weren't the kinds of problems here in Chicago that were he was dealing with in the South, and he really kind of felt that he was an interloper and would kind of give Chicago a bad name.
Walter Jacobson reported on the Chicago freedom movement.
Daley was very much aware of the feelings that he was generating, rallying to his cause, and the democratic machine, those people, South Side, Southwest Side, Eastern European roots, they didn't want black people moving into their necks of the woods.
In the summer of 1966, Dr. King was living in an apartment in Chicago's North Lawndale neighborhood as a way to put pressure on the Chicago political machine to open up fair housing practices to African Americans. In July, he delivered a speech at Soldier Field.
He gave a very powerful address and very relevant to what was happening kind of at that point in the movement, which was more about liberation and black power.
On August 5th, King held a march in Marquette Park. Walter Jacobson was a reporter, hundreds turning out.
Al Raby and Jesse Jackson advised him not to do it, as much as they wanted to be in the middle of it. The kind of tension you could see, it was just a cauldron boiling. There were thousands of white, really mean-spirited kids and shouting, "Kill him!" And he didn't get very far because he was hit by a brick shortly after he began. It knocked him down to, I think he got down on one knee. They didn't have to carry him out. He wasn't seriously hurt.
I've been in many demonstrations all across the South, but I can say that I have never seen, even in Mississippi and Alabama, mobs as hostile and as hate-filled as I'm seeing in Chicago.
A photograph of King ducking from the brick spread across the world.
Daley's primary objective was to avoid anything that might make Martin Luther King a martyr.
Not long after King and Mayor Daley reached an agreement, public housing would have limited height restrictions and the Mortgage Bankers Association would make mortgages available to all. King initially called it the most significant program ever conceived to make open housing a reality. But by early 1967, in a press conference, King said the public agencies involved had reneged and made false promises.
We shall.
Dr. King's assassination in Memphis on April 4th, 1968, set off a firestorm nationwide.
He was a hero here in the city of Chicago. And because he was such a proponent of nonviolence, to be cut down so violently, I think it really left a bad taste in many people's mouths.
Joy Bivens is curator with the Chicago History Museum.
Here it started the day after, and it lasted until Monday. Thousands of people were left homeless. You know, a dozen people were killed. Fires, looting, really just taking to the streets. The police were overwhelmed. The National Guard was called in. So there was a curfew that was set almost within, you know, probably less than 2 weeks. South Parkway, which was the main boulevard of Bronzeville, the heart of the black community, was immediately named Martin Luther King Drive. And that happened throughout the country.
But the changes in housing and economic equality were much slower.
Chicago took a long time, even after the freedom movement and open housing marches, to really desegregate residentially. So you had kind of block by block desegregation that happened all throughout the 1970s into the 1980s. So maybe it wasn't kind of a slam dunk victory or an immediate victory, It took much longer than he probably anticipated.
Operation Breadbasket remained under the leadership of Jesse Jackson in Chicago, eventually morphing into Operation Push and now Rainbow Push. Next week, WGN's Domati Pongo talks with Reverend Jackson about the legacy left behind by Dr. King, and we travel to Memphis for the MLK 50 commemoration. Ryan Burrow, WGN News.